Talking about faithfulness today, we've been working our way through those nine attributes which are listed as fruit of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of different understandings of what it means to be faithful. But I want to bring your attention to a key verse when it deals with faithfulness. It's Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Now, let's admit it. We talk a lot about love, don't we? I mean, my favorite topic when it comes to being a follower of Jesus, talk about God's love and the love we're to have for each other. So we spend a lot of time talking about love. But I have to ask the question, how often do we talk about being faithful? We sing about it. We know about it. Occasionally we'll read scripture about it. But do we really understand what that means? I was confronted with understanding that a while back. I was serving a United Methodist Church in West Palm Beach, and I had a phone call. A woman called requesting an appointment on behalf of herself and her husband. Now, it turns out, as she said, we're not members of your church. We belong to another United Methodist Church in a nearby town. We don't want to talk to our pastor, she said, because our problem, well, she said, it's embarrassing. That got my curiosity. I said, well, if I can help, I'm glad to do that. But I couldn't figure out what it was that they couldn't talk to their own pastor about. Well, they came to see me, and it was apparent that the husband did not want to be there. He really had nothing to say. So his wife began, we have a different idea of what it means to be faithful. How so, I asked. Well, she added, we've been married for 33 years. We've raised three children. They're fully grown now. But now my husband is telling me that he wants to stay married, but he also wants to date other women. That wasn't what I was expecting. Caught me off guard. I turned to the husband and I said, but you're married. You made a commitment to her. You made a commitment to be faithful. Why do you want to date other women? Oh, he replied, I want to keep my commitment to her. I just feel like it's my right to have fun with other women, he said. If I want to do that, I have the right to do that. I'll continue to take care of her, but I don't want to limit myself to her. My mouth was hanging open at this point. I was speechless. It is not what I thought I would be talking about. So I said, what about your marriage covenant? Do you remember saying that you would love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? That's part of the marriage covenant. Sure, he said, I remember that. But things have changed, and I have a new understanding of what being faithful means. After all, he said, I have the right to live my life as I see fit. You see, Pastor, this is her problem. And he said that. I was still stunned. And I don't think it will surprise you to know that this woman decided to divorce her husband several months later. Because his definition of being faithful only caused her continued pain. It was a betrayal. But I started asking that question, what does it mean to be faithful? How faithful are you? That's a great question to ask yourself this morning. I suppose that answer to that question is different depending on what you're being asked about. For instance, being faithful to your spouse might have a different meaning from being faithful to your employer. And I think we all need to ask, are we being faithful to God? Scripture declares that God is faithful to us, but are we returning that? Now, you might answer those questions in a variety of ways, depending on the object of faithfulness. So rather than kind of run down all those rabbit holes, I think it's far more appropriate to be global in that question. Are you faithful? And I think that's important because Scripture doesn't parse out settings, different settings, a variety of settings for being faithful. You know, where we are cut some slack in some situations, but demanded that we be absolutely faithful in others. Actually, what Scripture says is we are to be faithful. We know from Paul's letter to the church in Galatia that when the Holy Spirit is at work in a person's life, it is obvious. Paul likens that work of the Spirit and its outcome to having fruit. In other words, life-giving, something that is good. He says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Faithfulness, in other words, is among those superlatives of a life connected to God. But again, do we really understand what being faithful really means? And are you consistently faithful in every aspect of your life? That gentleman wanted to be faithful in some areas, but he reserved the right to be unfaithful in others. You know, the United States Marines puts a premium on faithfulness. You hear them proclaim that commitment to faithfulness all the time, Semper Fidelis. It's the official motto of the United States Marines since the late 1800s. It's adopted from the Latin. It means always faithful. So the Marines use an abbreviated form of that phrase, Semper Fi. You hear them all the time. It's in the movies. You'll hear Marines saying that to each other, Semper Fi. They're voicing loyalty and commitment to their comrades in arms. Semper Fi holds the promise that they will be faithful to the very end. They will serve, even die, with honor to the Corps, to one another, and to themselves. It's a core value for the Marines. So what about us, followers of Jesus? For if you read Scripture, even just in a cursory way, you see that God calls us to be faithful as His disciples. So important is this characteristic, we are told, that we are to inscribe it on our hearts. It goes along with love. As I said in Proverbs 3:3, it is radically clear. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So how are you doing? Are you a faithful person? Not just in one aspect, but across the whole gamut of your life. Now, like many of you, I have used a GPS for many, many years. Used to be maps. You remember getting the maps? I always liked to buy a new map every year. Liked to plot out the course. Sometimes AAA would do it for you, but needed to know where I was going, where the turns would be, which highways to take. Somebody perhaps would give me directions. I served a church way out in the country, and they didn't have addresses. They just had rural routes, mailboxes at the end of a long dirt road. So directions were very important, you know, which oak tree to turn at. Turn by the brown cows or the black cows. I needed to know things like that. But now it's GPS. It will guide me from here to there. In fact, it will point out every turn. It'll give me a warning before I get there. And most of the time it works. But what is disconcerting is when I hear rerouting, rerouting. And I'll be honest with you, most of the time when I hear that, it's because I ignored an instruction. I didn't make that right-hand turn. I didn't believe it. I didn't think I was supposed to do it. So suddenly, it's having to figure out how to fix my mistake, rerouting. I believe that the fruit of the Spirit includes faithfulness, because there are times when we miss a turn in our walk with God. This time, it's not a place that we're headed to, but a relationship, which is far more important. There are things that can really mess up a relationship. We would call them a wrong turn. Gossip, jealousy, envy, strife. There's a whole list of things. These are places where we tend to ignore the direction that faithfulness is trying to lead us in. And when we're not faithful, we become lost. And I know God is trying to reroute us, trying to make sure we get back on track. That's what's so faithful about God. He doesn't give up on us when we have intentionally ignored that warning. Sometimes followers of Jesus, people like me and you, we need help getting back on track spiritually. We may intentionally veer off course, or maybe we drift. It's slow, but over time, we have lost our way and we fail to notice that we're moving further and further from the walk that God wants to have with us. So here is this plain warning. God says, be faithful. Inscribe it on your hearts, we are told. It is critically important. I think today is a great day to think about being faithful. I mean, at any point, when you're following that GPS, you can decide to listen and get back on the right road. And so it is in our walk with Christ. The faithfulness of the Father's love is that you're always welcome home. The story of the prodigal is a great story of that. Just come home. So we're going to come to the Lord's table today. It's a good place and a good time to think about our own faithfulness. Am I walking with God or am I drifting? Am I faithful in every part of my life or is there something that I'm hiding? These might be the questions that you and I can ask when we're here. Jesus calls us to come to his table. It's a table of grace, and we're to leave something here. Even as we take something with us, that is, these reminders of how much he loves us, we're to leave our sin here. As people who have been forgiven by the grace of Jesus Christ, as we leave this table, we're to go as faithful followers of Jesus Christ, forgiven and committed to letting God lead us. That's a faithful response. Here is where our lives are strengthened and restored. This is God's table, and everyone is welcome at this table. You've heard me say again and again, you don't have to be a member of this church. You don't have to be a Methodist. Come to the table, Jesus says. Because here you're going to meet a faithful God who calls us to walk faithfully with him. Let us pray. Thank you for these gifts of bread and wine. Thank you for the table that has been set, room for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, that here at this table there is grace. And an honest conversation can be had. If we're willing to listen, we will admit those things that we have been doing that are unfaithful. And then receiving here the grace and the commitment to walk with us as we struggle to put our lives back on course, to be faithful to you and to others. This is no small thing. Faithfulness, like love, is to be written on our hearts, bound to our minds, that in all we say and all that we do, we will have that sureness, that constant, dependable reminder of your great love given in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The couple that I told you about in West Palm Beach, things unfolded over the years, and I was able to catch up with the wife and the husband a little bit later. The wife had remarried. She had found a spouse, a husband who loved her and was committed to her and was unyielding in his faithfulness. And she was content. There were scars, there was hurt, but she was content and had found peace in that relationship. He called me. He said, Pastor, I think I've made a big mistake. My life is unsettled. People don't trust me. I'm just not happy. I said, well, there is a faithful God. No matter how far we wander, how far we mess up, how big it is, God never stops loving us. He is faithful. You can always go home. I pray that he did. I pray that over time he found his way back home to the loving arms of God, God who was always with him. But God calls us to be faithful, even as God is to us, to avoid those terrible dark places, to know his peace and his love. In fact, it's so important. We are to bind it around our neck, make sure that it's always in our mind, to inscribe it on our heart so it's how we live. Brothers and sisters, faithfully now, go in peace and go in love. Amen.